What the foo is wrong with you?
Alright, it's sometime after 7 on fucking Wednesday. I guess this is the, 1, 2, 3, 4th of... God damn, it's the 4th of October already, jeez. Do you know how fast this year has gone? Remember that Sam Bankman-Fried fat fuck, that crypto scammer asshole who defrauded everyone? Or people dumb enough to invest and use his fucking crypto exchange? Yeah, he was arrested in Nassau in December, and it's already October. So that's how fucking fast the stupid year has gone. No, really. That fat fuck. All right, well, anyway, I'll be back at literally 15 after 7 to assume the mic actually works, which is the point of this shit. I'll be back in a few minutes to do the intro for the open mic. It's all fucking alone. Getting fucking lonely. Thinking of burning this place down. Nothing. I didn't say anything. Glad the mic doesn't work.
I'm not that exciting. Just a girl from a distant planet trying to get back home.
Oh, great.
I guess I'm just assuming since, you know. I think I understand how it works, though. It's not quite that simple. Well, the authorities? I'm pretty sure they're gonna have a few questions. Yeah, this is what I was wearing when I crashed. It's a long story.
Welcome to the Cormorant Cafe. This is open mic night. Wednesday at 7:15, as my mom would say. What is that? 8, 9, 10, 15 Eastern? So if you're in New York, it's late. That's why all the spicy stuff comes on. Like Skinamax. Alright. We're just going to pretend that the mic check is a real thing and that the mic works and that this isn't all garbage. Okay, shockingly, I had participation from an unlikely source, my buddy from high school that I've known for a billion years. 32-ish years. 32? 33? Fuck, we've known each other a while. Anyway, he sent a thing. I think he wrote it for catharsis or something, but... honestly, I think that guy just beats himself up for enjoying himself, telling you, if no one's hurt, there's no sin. Unlike that fat Sam Bankman-Fried fuck. Anyway, oh, and his parents too, it sounds like. The whole family of garbage. You know, if I defrauded one person, I would be in jail already. I was just reading on my phone earlier that they're just getting around to jury selection. They wouldn't even bother. They would just throw my ass in jail. I could defraud a small person. Anyway, so I guess this is the big finale with Osprey, the episode of the last episode of Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse is today. Robbie's poem, and I got creative, and as you heard earlier, some sound clips. So those were Letty. And the next, if you hear sound clips at the end instead of just quitting, which you should do instead, if you quit, you're better off. But if you don't quit, the sound clips you'll hear are from Cinna, Dr. Cynthia Osprey, my supervillain. That's right. I got her to talk. No, Letty got her to talk, and then we got recordings, because it's a cinematic universe where we are. No, I have my ways. And it's not a human thing, so I had machines make it do And it wasn't just, hey, make this voice. It was a little more complicated than that. But easier than that, actually. This introduction has been too long. It's pretty much just me reading Osprey, which is the last chapter in the thing with Letty that we've been doing every week for 6 weeks now. I guess this is the sixth week. Shit. I don't know. Go back to episode 6 in season 3 if you have podcast, and you can listen to the whole thing. It starts with a guy who has a name similar to mine. He's fighting a demon. All right. So anyway, so there's some sound clips. There's my friend. I have to read it, but my friend sent a poem. And the last story in the collection of stories of Letty Stoutslinger, the bartender from, I don't know, some planet. From the Highfalutin, from the bar in the basement of the Highfalutin Resort Hotel. All right, let's get this party fucking started. Bam!
Okay, so this is part 6 of Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse. It is called Osprey. Supposedly the last one, which we called Apocalypse Now, even though it was supposedly half. So, that one and this one were supposed to be one piece, but my hand was sore and I started too late. And I don't really have a good excuse, I just mean, it's my fault. And they should have been one piece. Instead, I fixed it so they're more like two chapters instead of like one interrupted chapter. So, again, this is called Osprey. I guess it's part 6, if I'm counting correctly, of Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse. And it constitutes the finale. This is the end. So if anybody other than me has been following along, this is the thing you've been waiting for? Alright, we are finally here. I am R. Wesley Edwards, and this is the finale, Osprey, which is part 6 of Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse. Here we go. I'll just be, she's first person, so I'm sorry I don't have a better Letty. So as I was saying, after the gas attack at the Albany chemical plant and the terrorist threat letters and the subsequent gassing and turning everyone to mud-like green goo, I made my way across the country using whatever vehicles happened to have keys in, but, you know, not green mud, which is people's remains, I guess. And I'd been testing the air because, well, I didn't know how long my Premax would keep me safe, and I didn't know how long the air would be poisonous. But anyway, Albany, New York, it's very damn far from Huntington Beach, California, you know, if you're stealing cars, running out of gas, and stealing cars to get there. And I'll say borrowing stuff from police vehicles and getting your food wherever you can. Anyway. So, you know, it took almost a week to get there, and I was there at least a month before I happened upon her. And, going across the country, I was in many towns and cities and little rural, I don't know, villages and whatever. I didn't see anyone. No one. The initial gas attack took place in Albany. Now I was in Albany, and here was another person? I don't know. Guess. Possibly a coincidence.
As I said, I was testing the air and expecting to die for weeks and weeks, but it had been testing normal, I don't know, since around the time I first got to Albany. So whoever this was had managed to survive, what, a month of toxic air and at least another month after? Having a really weird sense of time. Everything just kind of meshes together and then stretches apart. So sometimes it feels like all these things took place over years, and sometimes it feels like all these things took place yesterday. So forgive me if I mess up my time scale sometimes. Anyway, when I saw her, she was standing in the green people, I'm sorry, goo. There's not a barbette utterable in any language in the universe to convince me to go into one of these rivers of human remains. I don't know, maybe I'm sensitive, but, well, the way I saw it at the time was the coincidences were adding up. Still, better to give the benefit of the doubt. I was wearing, well, what I wore when I first saw May, a vinyl bodysuit with the foam pad, what she called armor, and the cargo option, so buckets. I cannot tell you how many police cars, and I took, borrowed easily a dozen taser weapons and a rifle or two.
Yeah.
The animals were less susceptible to the gas than the humans, so we'll just not talk about it. In one of my pockets was a fully charged taser. Had I known I'd actually see a person, I might have brought the handcuffs too. But had I known there was another person to see, I would have been less cavalier about senselessly driving the streets of Albany.
It was kind of brazen.
And this teenager's body. Now with everyone dead, I'm doomed to be horny, I guess. So that's the situation. I had a weapon, I guess, and I still had the map of Albany that I got in AAA. Thanks, AAA. And some other useful items. I'd been using a generator I got from a hardware store and converted to a wood burner. Anyway, that day I wasn't even doing anything in particular. I think I was just looking at the map and trying to figure out what industrial areas to check out. I just happened to see her in the goo from a hill-like mound as I went between a couple of buildings. Excuse me. In fact, I thought I was hallucinating. Then I couldn't decide to confront her, let her discover me, stake her out. Well, that wasn't an option. I'm not patient. So that's not an option, actually. Anyway, I decided and hailed her, "You there," and "Helloa," and "Young lady," although I guess I just forget that I look like a teenager.
But anyway,
she did emerge from the goo, and I introduced myself. And to my shock and horror, she introduced herself. She said, "I am Dr. Cynthia Osprey." And then I said, "Osprey? I know that name." And I here listed the damning evidence, the terrorist threats, the foreign massacre, the everyone dying. Unpleasant details. And she admitted it. I'm still a little shocked looking back. Writing this, thinking about it, rereading it for you, I'm still shocked. She just flat out admitted it. I did not expect it. Even if I thought she was the one, I didn't expect her to say her name. If that, you know... Let me describe this woman to you real quick, in case I forgot to write it down. She has like this shocking reddish orange hair. She's wearing these black circle glasses. She's wearing like some kind of a shiny plastic, like a forest green bodysuit, like a environment suit, like a coverall, but it was zipped down. It was zipped down to, like, her sternum, but she had, like, no breasts. So, anyway, maybe it was just, you know, hot. I don't know. Just trying to get some air in there. But, I feel like I should mention There was like a heart patch on it. Anyway. Perhaps you can guess. But I attacked her. And we landed on the ground. And actually, she was kind of an easy defeat. And I removed the top of her coverall environment suit and used it to pin her arms behind her. And then I marched her to the sedan I'd been driving. I opened the passenger door and I kind of pushed her in so she was bent over the seat and then kind of on her knees on the road. I grabbed the handcuffs from the glove box and I took her arms out of her coverall and handcuffed the crazy mass murderer behind her back. And then her large ass, which I found hot. But anyway, then her large ass was the only reason her coverall didn't fall to her ankles. And I guess I just left it on her, even though it was probably not a good idea at the time. And so, as I was saying, she had this red-orange hair, her eyebrows, and now I saw her pubic mound too. I muttered, it's natural, but she ignored me or chose to say nothing. I ordered her to lead the way to her house or bungalow or supervillain lair or apocalypse bunker. She said her lab. I'd conspicuously not said lab. But it didn't matter. She had already admitted it. And I'd taken out some rage, I guess you could say. Now she was pretty much my prisoner, at least at the moment. Oh, and she had nerve, too, asking me what I intended to do with her. Or if I was going to kill her, and I had to say, I remember this, like, over the next few days, if I was going to kill you, if I was going to kill you, lady, I'd have done it when you admitted to me who you are. Remember? I attacked you, and I beat you in, like, a half second. If I was going to kill you, I would have just drowned you in the stupid goo. Anyway, the lying prick took me into the woods, and I'm not born fucking yesterday, so I followed strictly in her footsteps. She wore these Timberland hiking boots, and so it was pretty easy to follow in her boot prints. Bitch took me to a cave that was obviously unused, and then she fell down. It was so fake. Jesus Christ, lady. You know, you've been looking through a microscope too long. You need to get some acting lessons in there. Oh, wait, you murdered everyone. So anyway, she fell down. It was so fake, if you ask me. Just inside the cave entrance, there was some blue tarp. There were twine. There was just... It was unused, but it had been used. For something. The kind of thing you might expect, I don't know, frat boys or high school kids to find and use. And I was like, this? This is your super villain lair? And then she was like, oh, yeah. And she insisted it was. And by now I saw booby traps and I saw like the place was dusty. And she was, oh, here's my lab. Totally not a lab. And my bed is up there. It was a ladder to a small disused and dust covered cot. So I pulled out my Albany AAA map and then... When I couldn't see, I hauled the crazy lying murderer out of the cave. Oh, she got out of her handcuffs and I had to tie her up with twine and handcuff her. And I removed her coveralls completely, which I had to put over my arm and carry separately. And my teenage stupid body was ready to just, well, anyway, but I managed to control myself. And, so now she's nude, except for like a scrunchie in her hair and glasses. Anyway, oh, and hiking boots and socks. Anyway, as I said, I put her environment suit over my arm, and then outside the cave, I called her a liar and anything else, including a fat ass, even though, like I say, I have to say here that I liked her arse, but she was not affected. Nor was she upset or humiliated by all the disrobing, which... I mean, if I was trying to hurt her, that would have... Anyway, now, I'd done this to ensure she had no weapons, but it would have worked on me if someone wanted to humiliate me. Not her, though. She was immune. She was apparently as comfortable wearing her stupid coverall as she was wearing nothing. Excuse me. And now, I did mention the hearts, but she seemed to have a fixation. There was a sun-bleached heart-shaped patch on her coverall, and, as I could see now, the same heart shape on her hip. Anyway, we verbally sparred, calling her murderer and a liar and the things that I had evidence for, and her calling me a kidnapper and just the immoral trying to use morality against the moral. Is irony? Hypocrisy? Sorry, anyway. So we were sparring anyway, but I bet her a 7-Eleven Happy Pie I could take us directly to her super villain lair or lab or whatever the hell. And she was, I kid you not, quote, "I don't have any money." Ha ha, bitch. Just go into 7-Eleven, take the fucking pie off the fucking shelf, fucking eat it, you dumb ass. Anyway, then she was all, "It hurts me to walk." Fucking lying, fucking asshole, fucking mass murderer. So I picked the crazy bitch up on my shoulder and walked back to the sedan, where I threw her in the back seat and drove us to her lab. Anyway, I just drove to an industrial park near where I found her, and lo, it was the first one I tried, and she tried to pretend it wasn't. Anyway, so we're there, I look, I search her little coverall, and of course there's no key, because why would she need keys? Don't need to lock it, you're the only one left. So, I mean, even out of habit, I probably would have a key, but this woman... Anyway, I just went to the first building and opened a door, and she couldn't deny it. Generator, functional bath, toilet, washing facilities, and of course, it was a lab. I ended up finding her a clean tank top and running shorts and panties. She put on all but the panties, the weirdo. We had more words. She accused me of hurting her and holding her prisoner. I was like, fuck this. Anyway, there was a moment when I thought she was gonna rush me, and I took out the taser weapon. And I was going to leave. I was. And she fucking grabbed my arm. Which, I mean, of course, she's crazy, right? Who? I was gonna leave. I was just gonna leave. I don't have it in me to torture you to death. So, anyway. So, like I say, she grabbed my fucking arm. So I just put the electric taser weapon in her very red-orange armpit and clicked the trigger, and she convulsed and lost consciousness and fell and pissed herself. So anyway, I took her to her bath and washed her slowly, 2 or 3 times. What? Don't judge me. There aren't any people. She's the last one. What? Anyway, I trussed her up, tied her real tight, put her on a table, and eventually, like the middle of the next day, she finally wakes up, now claiming she didn't do the apocalypse, she's saying she didn't lie, she's saying she didn't grab my arm. By now, I'd retrieved the LA Times, what, and published the terrorist threats with her very name, and the clincher? A heart emoji. Anyway, I forgot to mention, but her lab just had these, like, milk-washed, construction paper hearts, just, like, decorated everywhere. Like little kid kindergarten. So there was no denying it. It was the patch on her, it was her tattoo, it seemed to be her fixation. If she had keys, which she didn't, but if she did, she would have had a heart, like, key fob. Keychain, key ornament. What do you even call those? Anyway. So, she's denying everything, and I'm like, fuck you. You admitted it to me yesterday, and, you know, all this. The hearts, this and this. And she started coming around to defeat, asked me to kill her, asked me not to kill her, whatnot. I admitted I liked her body, apologized for the armpit burn and the 3 slow baths. Somehow I decided to untie her, and I applied more burn salve to her armpit. She killed everyone and will likely kill me or make me kill her, but, well, we sort of became lovers. I blame the pre-max. Anyway, she hasn't been acting too erratic. It's been a couple months. Alright, so that's the end of that.
Hope you enjoyed.
What did you expect, really? Okay, well, anyway, if you guys listen to all six parts,
thank you.
Also, I don't know. I was intending to have some more violence, but Letty's not exactly the violent type, and I figure that if a person kills everyone with a gas attack, they might not be the fighting type either, you know, except in certain types of anime and movies. Alright, well, I hope you enjoyed it in spite of my, protagonist's questionable ethics and morals there at the end. Alright, thanks for, listening to that part, if not all six. Okay, my buddy from high school. Keep in mind, I'm 48, so we've been friends for, what is that, 30 years at least? We're at 32. Anyway, my friend from high school, who's, apparently, he likes to punish himself. Oh wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, I'm gonna read a thing from my friend Robbie. He doesn't want you jackals to find him, so he hasn't given me a social media handle to link to. So, this is called, or the thing I'm going to read later in a few minutes is called Temptation. Enjoy! Temptation. I questioned my intentions. But the prophecy of dreams persuaded me to go against my morals. I should use my Robbie voice. Because every time I read a poem from him, I degenerate into this specific voice. So let me... Okay, voice acting mode here. No, I'm just kidding around. But I'll start over and I'll try to read it in my normal taking up this voice. Sorry, Robbie. But I don't think he listens to the podcast. I don't know if he's going to worry too much. Temptation. I questioned my intentions, but the prophecy of dreams persuaded me to go against my morals. The disease lasted longer than most expected. I craved the experiences of my depraved youth. I was denied the psychological terror that tortures me nightly. Complacency settled in, but the demon on my shoulder would yell into my ear, longing for the decades-old life I lived. Every day I would lock away the screams, trying to find innovative ways to ignore the cacophony. The dreams broke the chains of my self-control. My morals were compromised. The sins I relished in my youth showed themselves. I succumbed. I can no longer pretend. I am faced with this person that I've become. All I can do is try to be better. Okay, that's the whole thing. But, no, Robbie, you don't have to be better. Dude, if no one's hurt, there's no sin, man. Alright, well, that was from my friend Robbie. Temptation. Alright, well, I guess no one's gonna fucking read.
Who gives a shit anymore anyway? It's just me. The whole podcast only exists so that I can have some discipline in my life and do some writing. I guess it's working. I don't know. It was working better when people were participating. I realized school started and everything went to shit for you guys, but come on. Play with me, please. I'm dying here. Hey, did I mention my name is Rob R. Wesley Edwards, the cormorant? Oh, I should have done that in the intro. That's why we write things down, isn't it? Well, anyway, I'm R. Wesley Edwards, the cormorant. Common cormorant, probably. Cormorant Sage, if you still use Twitter, you dumb fucks. All right, so this has been Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe. And it's over now. I hope you enjoyed the ridiculously long Letty's epic journey to the apocalypse, which we just finished, and I hope you enjoy the sound clips that are coming right now.
Hey, hello? Are you real? Hey, hello? Hello?
My name is Dr. Cynthia Osprey.
Who are you?
I killed all of them!
I never thought of myself as a supervillain.
You don't trust me because you think I'm crazy.
It's not the first time.
It protects me from the toxins in the air.
I like you. And I'm so sorry about what I did, but you can't forgive me for it.
Where are we going? What are you gonna do?
Because it was fun.
What would you do with me if you could?
That's what I call it.
I'm not twisting them. They just come off easily.
I don't know what that is.
Oh,
yes, sorry.
What was that?
Well, what are you waiting for? You're lucky I didn't kill you when you showed up.
I do research.
This is all very awkward.
It's an environmental suit.
You're really good at this.
Yes, you said that. I don't understand what you're talking about.
What are you doing?
You don't know what you're talking about.
I promise not to kill you.
I don't think you're stupid.
Who's Pry, Max?
I won't kill you! I promise!
You can kill me if it'll make you feel better. You're crying.
What was that?
Yes, I did it. But that's so cold, it didn't just shock me, it burnt me.
But what about this? How did you get this?
It's this way.
I know you don't understand. It's my fault.
I call it my lab. I have no money.
It's okay. I did something much worse to you.
You are lucky I didn't shoot you.
This is it.
No, I'm a little shy.
My heart?
I killed all of them.
Who are you?